Okay, hello, Nicholas, and whoever else is listening to this. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we're at. Let's look at the first verse. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. All right. What has happened in the book of Nehemiah? What was like the overarching summary slash theme of Nehemiah?
Good idea.
What's going on in Nehemiah? We talked about it on Sunday. If you weren't here on Sunday, you have a slight pass.
Nehemiah was burdened because his city was, the walls had been torn down, so they were.
Yes. What city was it, Elena? I wasn't here. What city was Nehemiah concerned that the walls were down on?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Thank you, Oliver.
I wasn't even there.
Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem were down. Yeah, so Nehemiah gets this burden. So we talked about in Ezra. Ezra went back and rebuilt the temple, right? He took one wave of people went before Ezra with Zerubbabel, and then Ezra took a wave, the second wave of people. He brought some priests and some Levites, and then Nehemiah brings the third wave of people. So he's the cupbearer for the king. He's in the palace in chapter 1. He hears the report that the walls are still down. Things are not going well for the Israelites, and so he gets this burden to go back and rebuild the walls. So he goes back. The first half of this book is spent on talking about the rebuilding of the walls and setting up the gates and all of those things. You guys gonna be all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they get everything. They get everything done in chapter 6. I think in verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. So in 52 days they rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. They get everything set back up. I believe, based on my math, that this is 5 days later when we get to chapter 8. So it says the first day of the seventh month. I believe that Elul, or however you say that, back in chapter 6, is the sixth month of the Jewish calendar. So I think it was 5 days later. They all show up. They all gather together. They've finished building. It's kind of a celebratory time, right? They've just gotten all this work done of rebuilding these walls. And so they all come together. And Ezra, if you guys remember when we talked about the book of Ezra the last week, he came prepared, right? It says that he prepared, he went there knowing the law, he knew he was going to go there and teach, and so he shows up in the book of Ezra. But here, this is his opportunity of what he was prepared for, is to get up and to read the law and to teach the law to the Israelites, because they had kind of lost those things. If you think about, just from like a logical standpoint, when they got taken captive, and how long were they taken captive for? Talked about this on Sunday as well. And last Sunday. Yes, 70 years. Okay. So most of the people who were taken captive died in captivity. Right? I mean, think about it. If you were 20 years old and when you got taken captive, you'd be 90. So maybe there was a couple of those people left. Most people under the age of 20 maybe wouldn't even remember much about life before captivity. So most of the people that were going back at this point were people who were born in captivity to start in Babylon or in Persia, depending on when they were born. So a lot of them were born in captivity. There were a few that were not, but they're trying to reestablish like the Jewish culture. Even today, like devout Jews are still about the law. They're still about observing the customs of the Jews. And so they're kind of reestablishing the culture of the Jews. So they've got their temple rebuilt. They've got their walls rebuilt. They've got their priests in place. They've got all the things in place that are needed to kind of get their culture going again, get their society back to what it was like before they were taken captive the first time. And so they get up and they say, okay, we need to stand here and we need to hear the law. We need to know what it is that we're supposed to be doing. So Ezra gets up and he reads the law. That's what we just read in the first couple verses. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. I bet most of those are not right, but you guys get it. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That's one of the reasons we stand up most of the time whenever Brian's reading his main passage when we start in service. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. A lot of those same people, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And the people, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Okay, that's a lot of reading. We're going to read a little bit more in a minute. But what's happening? What has happened in the first 13 verses of this chapter? What's going on? Give me just a... just a summary. Just a chaos. Okay, Bryson says chaos. What else? If y'all can't get the book, get the understanding of the book when you read it, we're going to have to read it again. I'm going to say all those names again. Please don't make me read all those names again. Huh? Ezra brought the law before the congregation. Okay, yes. Okay. Audrey's just reading the first three words of every verse.
A lot of important stuff with a bunch of names we can't pronounce.
Yes, there was a lot of names that I did not pronounce well. What else?
That was actually a joke. He just brought a lot of people and stuff, but there were a bunch of names.
Yes. Come on. What's going on in this passage?
He prayed to God that they would all understand what he was reading.
Yes, he prayed.
Maybe you should too.
I will pray.
No, keep it quiet.
You have something to say, Hallie?
She's trying to pronounce all the names.
Oh, okay. So they all come together and he prays. They worship. They realize some things maybe that they should have been working on. At the end of verse 9, they tell him, hey, guys, don't mourn, don't weep. It says because the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why were they crying when they heard the words of the law?
Tears of joy.
Tears of joy, perhaps. Maybe tears of sorrow because they hadn't been doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. I don't know exactly. The Bible isn't super clear about it, but Nehemiah tells them, hey, and Ezra, he says, hey, don't cry about this. Like, this is a joyous day. We're like, this is the start of something new. What's the number 8 represent in the Bible? Anybody remember? Back from Bible study? New beginnings, yeah. So number 7 is completion, right? And then number 8 is new beginnings. And so this is chapter 8, and they are starting a new beginning for the people. They're reestablishing the law. Guys, put your phones away. They're reestablishing the law. So they're going through all this stuff again, and they're starting over. They get to have a fresh start on their society, on the way that they're obeying the words of the Lord or not obeying the words of the Lord. They're starting fresh on this. And so Nehemiah and Ezra and these other guys, they make sure that these people know what's being said, all the people listened. It says that they were attentive in verse, at the end of verse 3, and they were attentive unto the book of the law. But then these guys go in and they more specifically make sure that the people are understanding exactly what's being said. It says at the end of verse 13, on the second day we're gathered together, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So this is like preaching, it's teaching, it's discipleship, it's kind of all wrapped up into one. They spend this whole day and even into the second day, and they're laying out the law, and they're making sure that everybody understands, okay, this is, you know, there's a lot of like details in the law. If you read, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right, there's a lot of very specific detailed things. How to do the sacrifices, what kind of sacrifice you need to make if you make this type of sin. If you do this kind of sin, you need to have this kind of animal. Right? There's a lot of very specific things. And so they preach the word of God, they teach the word of God, and then they're going through and they're making sure people are understanding it so that they can apply it. They're discipling them in the law. All right, verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So they come across this passage. Hold your place here and go to Leviticus chapter 23. They come across this passage of the law, and they're like, oh, we have not been doing that. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 33. And what I want you guys to see from this is they identify something that they have not been doing as a group. As a whole, as people, we have not been observing this particular portion, Leviticus 23.
187.
Huh? 187. Oh, 187 if you have a church Bible. They came together and they realized, we've not been doing this thing that we're supposed to have been doing. So as they're reading through this, they recognize, this is something we've been missing. And so in verse 33 of Leviticus 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Okay, so what? Skip back to Nehemiah. Leave it. Stay in Leviticus. But back in Nehemiah, where are we at? What day and month are we in?
Seventh
month. The first day was at the beginning of the chapter, and by the time you get to verse 13, it's the second day of the seventh month. So their calendar is not the same as ours, but for simplicity's sake, on July 1st, they sit down and they have the law read out to them. And on July 2nd, they're going through it. And they read, hey, on July 15th, you're supposed to observe this particular feast. Right? That's what this says, the 15th day of the seventh month. Okay? Again, it's not July 15th, but for our calendar, it's July 15th. So they're reading and they're like, oh, shoot, guys, in 13 days, we're supposed to be doing this feast. We've not been observing this feast. And so they read on. I'm not going to read this whole passage, but all the way to the end of chapter 23, kind of lays out what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to go gather these branches, they're supposed to make this, it calls it a booth, kind of like an awning or a canopy on the top of their house. They're supposed to set all this up, and they're supposed to spend this time, this 7 day time period, remembering the Lord, making sacrifices and things. It says in verse 35, on the first day, not of the month, but on the first day of the feast, shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering, everything upon his day. And there's more to it there about the feast. But they read this and they're like, hey, you can go back to Nehemiah. They're like, hey, in 13 days we're supposed to be observing this feast, and we've not been doing that. And so look what it says in verse, so in 15 it says, go forth and unto the mount, fetch all these different kinds of branches. And then in verse 16 it says, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Yeshua, the son of Nun, that's Joshua. So from the time of Joshua unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Okay, so again, there's a lot going on there, but what I want you guys to see, or what I want to point out, is they're trying to get things reestablished, right? They're trying to reestablish the law and get things kind of back on track to the way they were supposed to have been. Because if you remember, getting off track and not following the Lord is what caused them to get taken into captivity in the first place, right? That's when Babylon came in and took them captive. Because of their sin, because they had allowed themselves to drift away from the Lord. And so as they're reading, and they're all really, it says as one man, it says in verse 1, they gather together as one man. They're all unified, and they're all saying, we want to follow the Lord. We want to do what we're supposed to do. Ezra, you're the one that's prepared. Why don't you read what the law says that we're supposed to be doing? And all of us together will listen to this, we'll all, agree to it, we'll all correct the things if we haven't been doing them. We'll start doing them. We'll stop doing the things that it says we're not supposed to do. And so they spend like almost like half a day. It says from morning until midday reading the law. Think about how long it would take you to read Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? I mean, it would take you maybe a couple hours to read all that. But they're going through it and they're explaining it, and they're making sure that everyone understands this is what we're going to have to do. Right? And they have some priests there. They have to stop. Okay, hey, priests, this is what you're going to have to do. Listen to this. Okay, people over here, if you guys commit this kind of sin, you need to bring this kind of an animal. And so we're going to make sure that that's happening. And so they're trying to get all this stuff reestablished, and they come across this feast that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and they're like, oh man, we have got to get on this. And so as a group, they say, hey, this is the kind of branches that we're supposed to go get for this feast, and we're supposed to build these booths. And instead of saying, okay, well, it's only 13 days from now, it's not a lot of time, we're not really set up for this, let's put it off until next year, we'll start next year, that'll give us time to like get everything ready. They don't do that. They say, okay, this is the kind of stuff we should get. And verse 16, so the people went forth and they go get them. And so it's cool that they see something in the Word of God that they need to correct, and they don't try to put it off, they don't look for excuses, they don't try to come up with another way to do it. They don't do it their own way. They say, the law says that we're supposed to do this, so we're going to go do that. Everyone just goes and does it. They all go get it. They bring it back. They make up their booths. They honor this 7-day feast, right? So they just got done 52 days of building, right? They just get done building the walls. And so this is kind of a celebratory time. And now they have to stop, to a certain extent, they have to stop doing that. So they can now go gather all these kinds of branches so they can build these booths. Everyone has to build their own. And then now we're going to spend 7 days observing this feast. Again, not, you know, getting more things set up. There's still a lot of things yet to be done to get the city of Jerusalem operational again, back to the way that it was, back to the way that it should be. There's still a lot of things, but they take this time out. They take this whole week and they observe these feasts because that's what the Bible says that they're supposed to do. And so, as we read through that, okay, how can we apply this story? None of us are Jewish, I don't think. None of us observe this particular feast, right? But how can we apply what it's talking about here in our own life?
No hesitation.
No hesitation when what? Or in what case? Anything? Okay. No hesitation. Don't hesitate. What else, Jackson?
He's worried about food.
I agree with you.
How else can we apply this?
You can course correct even if you've gotten wayward.
Okay. So we talk a lot about that cycle of sin, and they're trying to break that cycle. And so their parents, maybe these people, if they were older, maybe they themselves had been part of the problem. And so, again, chapter 8, it's new beginnings. We get to start over. Okay, what else? Colton, got anything back there? Nothing? Anybody else up here? Ladies in the middle? Any application you can think of? So far, it's just my adults. Stay on the right path with God. What'd you say?
Do I not say anything?
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, so far, none of my students are talking up. That's not true. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So, I think the main application that I got from this is if you're reading your Bible and you come across something that is either new information to you that you didn't already know. So in this case, these people just didn't know. They honestly were ignorant of what the Bible said. And so when they come across it, it doesn't even say that they, it says, and they found written in the law, verse 14, which the Lord had commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all the cities, and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth. And so it doesn't even say, like Taylor said, there's no hesitation. So they come across something. They don't know what this is about. They've never done this before. But they're like, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to go get all these different kinds of branches. I'm supposed to build myself a canopy on top of my house. So I guess I'm going to do that. What?
Justin was still talking to me.
Okay, maybe you guys just both stop talking to each other or pointing at each other. So they come across this, and they immediately act on it. Okay, so when we're reading the Bible and we come across something that we don't know, we're not familiar with, okay, every time I read the Bible, pretty much, I come across a word that I don't know, I come across a location I've never heard of, I come across a passage and I read the whole chapter and I'm like, no clue what that just said, reread it over again, and then I still don't know what it says, so then I gotta like start looking up verses and Googling what the heck this is even talking about, okay? Hopefully if you guys are reading your Bible, you're coming across the same kind of things. Sometimes there's passages and there's words and there's things that we maybe don't know exactly what it's talking about. So, take the time to like figure out what it's talking about and then do what it says. You know, these guys come across this thing. They're like, hey, we gotta grab these kinds of branches. Well, what if I can't find a palm branch? Well, keep looking or find more of the other kind of branches. Right? It says we're supposed to get these branches, so I'm gonna go get these branches and I'm gonna build it the way that it says. And I'm just going to trust that what God says in His Word is what I'm supposed to do. And so when you read your Bible and you come across something, either something that you don't know, figure out what it's talking about, ask somebody, reread it, pray about it, look up a word or two. Like, somehow you can figure out basically what it's being said. If you can't, like I said, ask somebody. Ask your parents, ask me, ask somebody. So that's if you don't have any idea what it's talking about. Maybe you come across something and you're like, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that. And I just haven't been doing it. I know exactly what this means. I know exactly what it says. When I'm reading it, this person's face pops up in my head, or their name pops up in my head, or this thing I've been doing that I should stop doing pops up in my head, or something. You're convicted immediately, or you recognize something. Well, change it. Take action on it. Like, don't let it, don't make God repeat Himself, right? Because when God repeats Himself, it's usually not a good thing. You know, God tells us in His Word what He wants us to do, and the expectation is that we then do that thing. And so, as these guys are reestablishing their systems and stuff, they look at what the law says, they identify it, that's something that they haven't been doing, and they execute on it. It shows that they're being faithful with what the, I mean, these people have just recently come back, right? Ezra, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, they brought these waves back, but they're trying to show God, hey, we want a fresh start. Thank you for saving us from the bondage and the captivity that we were in. We're going to go back and we're going to establish things the right way. The foundation, how we're going to start this, is we're going to read what the Word of God says, and we're going to act on it. All right, look at chapter number 9. I don't know how much of this we're going to get to. Give me a second here. Let me see where I want to start. I want to read all of chapter 9 again, but that's not gonna happen. All right, let's just look at the first few verses of chapter 9. We'll just do the first few verses, then we'll stop. Now, on the 24th day of this month, okay, so this is after the feast is over. They're a couple weeks removed from where they were in chapter 8. The 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Okay, so again, they're a couple weeks now removed from it. They've implemented this feast. I'm guessing it doesn't exactly say here, but when you apply God's word and you are obedient to it, there's blessings that come along with that, right? So they're a couple weeks removed from that now, and it says that they separate themselves from all strangers. What's that talking about? Who would? Okay, yes.
Strangers.
So when they were building the walls and they were building the temple, there's people that were coming, right? We talked about with Nehemiah. There's the Sanballat, Tobiah, and the third guy, some with a G, Gershom or something. I don't remember what his name was. There was the three enemies that came and they were messing with them while they were trying to rebuild. I don't know, it doesn't matter. There's three guys that come and they're messing with them. Those guys are not Jews, right? So there's people, there's other people, just because the Jews are kind of trying to reestablish things in Jerusalem, the Jews are not the only ones there. Okay, and so this verse is talking about they separated themselves from the strangers, meaning, okay, this is just for us, right? This would be like, okay, it's time for our church body to get together and have like a meeting of some sort, right? Like we do this when we do the Lord's Supper is a good example, right? When we do the Lord's Supper, what does Brian say about the Lord's Supper? Who's welcome to take of the Lord's Supper when we do it? You guys know?
People that are saved and baptized.
Yes, saved and baptized.
Doesn't have problems with other people in the church or just anybody in general.
Right, yeah, there's no problems between them and somebody else. What if they're not a member of our church?
They can still.
Church of Life Faith.
Yeah,
Church of Like Faith. That's the phrase that Brian uses. So if somebody has the same basic like beliefs and principles as us, they maybe don't go to this church as their home church, but their church is like-minded with us, then Brian says, you're welcome to take the Lord's Supper. If you're lost, you shouldn't do it. If you're not baptized at this church, Brian says you shouldn't do it. If you're a member of a different church, of a different religion, or a different faith that believes differently, then you also shouldn't do it. And so that time is a time for our church body specifically to get fixed, right? Get united, get on the same page. To Audrey's point, if we have issues within the body, like if there's a particular sin issue that Brian's aware of, he may have that person come forward and like call it out in front of everybody. He's done that before. Or if you just have a problem where you're like not on the same page with somebody and you feel like there's an issue there that you need to address before you take the Lord's Supper, you should do that. I've had to do that before with somebody. So whatever it is, it's a time for us to kind of put all the things behind us and move forward like together, unified, as one body, as a group. Right? So that's basically what he's saying here. It's different because we're the church, and I get that this is Old Testament and this is Israel, so it's not exactly the same, but it's a parallel. And so he says, separate yourselves from everybody else. This is going to be just for us. This is for the Jews. This is for all of us to get unified and to get on the same page with each other and with the Lord. And so then it says, after they separate themselves from the strangers, it says that they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. What is that talking about?
Why you gotta be like? Where does it say baptized? Like you have to be baptized? Like, or is that just something?
Without getting way into it, it's not sinful to take the Lord's Supper before you've been baptized. But baptism is the first act of obedience after salvation. And so the Bible does talk about things being done decently and in order. And so there's a structure and an order in place that's like the suggested way to do it, kind of. And so like I don't think that you're in sin if you get saved, the next day you come to church, you take the Lord's Supper, and, you know, 2 months later you get baptized. Like, that's not a sinful thing to take the Lord's Supper, but it's not the right order or the way that it's laid out. And so Brian's usually pretty strict, isn't the right word, but he's usually
firm.
He's pretty firm, and like he's always decently in an order, do things decently in an order. And so the order is baptism is the first step, the first act of obedience.
and then the Lord's Supper comes after that. So that's why he does it that way. But there's no place in the Bible that says you can't take the Lord's Supper unless you're baptized. But baptism is like, when you're doing that, you're publicly proclaiming to be part of this body. And so then you eat with the body and you're saying, all of us are one and one body now. So if you haven't been baptized, it's like, well, maybe these people don't even know who you are. You haven't identified with this group yet publicly. And so that's kind of why it's in that order. Okay, so they're supposed to, so then it says that they stand up and confess their sins, and the iniquities of their father. So they're confessing their own sins, like, you know, here's some things that I haven't done right. Here's some things that I've been doing that I shouldn't have been doing. And the iniquities of their fathers, they're moving forward and they're putting these things, the sin of their fathers or grandparents or whatever, in the past, right? They're moving past the reasons that we were in captivity and the reasons that this temple was destroyed in the first place. And the reason that we're even here rebuilding everything is because of the iniquities of our fathers, of taking wives of other people and worshiping false gods and all the things that they were doing. And so they're not confessing the sins of their fathers, but they are like recognizing these are the behaviors that got us to the point where we're at right now, and we're trying to start over and we're trying to reestablish things the way that they're supposed to be. And going forward, we're going to try to keep that. And if you know anything about the Israelites, they don't end up keeping that, but they're trying really hard to set everything up in place the right way to begin with. And then in verse 3 it says, and they stood up in their place. Think about this. They read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. That's a lot of reading. 6 hours of reading, that's a lot of reading. If you take it in the Jewish way, where they had 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night, that's kind of how their day was broken up. Maybe it's only 3 hours, but still, that's a long time. 3 hours of Bible reading, 6 hours of Bible reading. And then it says, in another fourth part, they confess. So then they spent 3 or 6 other hours confessing. They are really trying to get things kicked off the right way. They are really trying to establish things from the beginning. We are going to forget the stuff we did in the past. We are really going to try to move forward and do things the right way. We're going to spend so much of our day reading the Word of God, reading the law of God, hearing it being read to us, hearing it being taught to us. We're going to do it on our own as well. Like, we are going to try to make sure that we have a firm foundation that we're established on. And if you go on to read the rest of that chapter from 4 really until, I don't know exactly where it stops, but somewhere in the late 20s, early 30s verses, it kind of recaps what happened when they were wandering in the wilderness and how they built the golden calf. And it really goes through a lot of things, not just what their parents did, but we're talking like hundreds of years, generations past, and all these things and how God brought them through all of these things. And how, and like in verse 17, it says, and they refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. And then their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. And then it goes on to list out some other sins that they did. And then if you look at verse 27, therefore thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried out, or when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. So again, it's that cycle of sin they're talking about. But they're going all the way back. They're saying from the very beginning, when you made these promises of this land right here to our father Abraham and all these other people and all the things that they've done, every time that they messed up, you were there. And so we're trusting you that you're going to do that for us now. We're probably going to mess up, is what, you know, they're saying, like, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to try our best. We're trying to establish on the firm foundation of your word. But God, thank you for your mercies. And they're praising God. They're confessing the sins of their fathers. They're rehearsing all these things so that everyone's up to speed. We all know where we stand, right? So why do we in this class spend so much time going through these books and talking about, I don't know how many times I've said sin cycle in the last 4 months or however long it's been since we started this study. It's like every single week I'm saying it like 10 times. I've said it tonight probably 4 or 5 times. Because it keeps coming up and it comes up over and over. And we're trying to I'm trying to set you guys and myself on the firm foundation of what the Word says, making sure that we recognize here's some like cautionary things. Here's what the nation of Israel says that they did wrong. And here's some things that they learned from that. And here's what happened. Here's the consequences of what happened when they did those things. And here's how they move forward. And here's how your life is going to go. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess things up along the way. There's going to be things that don't go the way that, even if right now you're like, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care who says something or who makes fun of me or what. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And then, you know, a week from now, a month from now, 10 minutes from now, sometime, you're going to fail at that. You're going to be in a situation and you're going to be like, ugh, I mean, I said I would do it, but I don't really want to do it right now. You know, like, this is embarrassing. Or, you know, what will these people think? What will my friends think? Or I don't even know these people. I don't want them to think bad of me or whatever. Or you forget about it or whatever. But there's going to be times where we fail. But this passage is telling over and over again, they're telling God, you're so gracious. Even though our fathers messed up, even though we're going to mess up, God, we are grateful for your mercy. And that's the same thing for us, right? God is merciful. He desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to have fellowship with us. So when we mess up, like, he's ready to receive us. That verse that I read in 17, thou art a God ready to pardon, right? He's ready to bring us back whenever we mess up. And so, just as they were reestablishing everything, I want to point out a few of these things that at least spoke to me. Like, when we read something, even for me, when I'm teaching something, I should be ready to apply the thing that I'm teaching right away. No hesitation, like Taylor said. Like, if you read it, it says it, just do it. See what happens. What's the worst thing that can happen? If you obey the word of the Lord right away, you read something and you're like, oh, I gotta fix this. And you fix it, I mean, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? You're obeying the Lord. Like, God's gonna bless you for that. And then when you mess up, this whole chapter is about God's forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and how he desires to reconcile and them recognizing that about him. And so they then move forward with this newfound, ready to go relationship with God. And if you read the rest of the book, again, they don't always keep it, but they're trying to set themselves up on a firm foundation. And the Bible talks about in the New Testament, for us, we have a firm foundation, right? 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, Christ Jesus. Is that 1 Corinthians 3? It's 8 o'clock, we're out of time, but, huh? Now I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if we have Christ as our foundation, we have the foundation that they were trying to lay up with the Word of God. We have Christ. And so, let's build on that with things that are valuable, things that are worth our time. All right, 8:01. Let's pray. Goodbye, Nicholas and others.
Goodbye, Nicholas.
I cut it off before you said that, I think. Sorry. Huh? Your nickname is Nicholas? Oh, I mean, that's his real name.
Alright,
let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this evening. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight, God. I just thank you for this passage in Nehemiah. God, as we read the way that they handled the reading of your word, and God, the way that they were quick to obey it and quick to apply it. God, help us to be that way. Help me to be that way. God, as we read our Bibles, God, I pray that we are reading our Bibles, but as we do read our Bibles and we come across things, God, that we maybe weren't aware of, or maybe we were aware of and we just neglected, God, I pray that you would help us to be able to identify those things and not put them off, not procrastinate, not look for ways around it or loopholes around it, God, but that we would just do what we know is right. We need to just take that step of obeying you and following what your word says, God, and just allowing you to just work through our lives, God. Just help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to be ready to repent when we do wrong, God. And I just thank you, God, for being the God of forgiveness and you just being willing to bring us back and receive us back, God, when we really don't deserve it. But God, you're merciful and I just thank you and praise you for that. God, I pray for this week that you would just help us to come, go out of here just excited about what you're doing in our lives. And God, if you're not moving in our life, if we're not allowing you to move in our life, I pray that maybe that's the thing that we would need to change, and that we would actually try to spend time with you and God, just allow you to work through our lives. And so I just pray for this week that you would just be with us, bless us, help us to be in your word, help us to spend time praying, and just thank you for everything you do for us. Amen.